I'm gonna hold you down, bitch.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna make you choke. I'm gonna make you choke. You'll be my slave. Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Perrin. With me today are Alex Rennie.
Hello!
From Manchester, England, and Tracy Erickson.
Hello!
From the USA.
In the red corner, Tracy Erickson.
Ooh. Exactly. Red. That makes me think of elections, because we're having one soon.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm not voting.
I voted yesterday.
You're not voting?
How did you vote yesterday? Because you're going to be away. See, this is what I should have done. The reason I'm not voting is because I didn't register in time, and I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be near enough to my election voting place.
Because it's what, May 7th?
6th.
6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to vote in your polling station, in your local one. No, you can vote anywhere.
Oh, in that case, maybe I'll go to the polling station.
As long as you take your polling card.
Okay. I'll go to the polling station in Berwick then.
It's all about postal votes. I don't know why everyone isn't onto this.
Because do that here in Oregon. It's actually by law. We don't even have polling places. You have to fill out a mail ballot.
See?
Really?
The Americans know what to do.
What's the idea behind that? Is that so that George Bush can intercept all the black folks, put them in a big bin?
If you are black,
well,
please put
unfortunately,
a big
that would, if this was Texas, that would make sense. But this is like the most one of the more liberal states. Okay. So each state does it differently here. So it's not unified. So it's like Oregon does it all by mail, whereas California still has polling stations. And then like Florida has electronic polling stations. I mean, it's all different.
Okay.
Do you have to vote in Oregon, Tracy? Like, is it like a legal requirement to vote, or you get fined or something?
Oh, no. I don't think there's anywhere in the country that does that. That's not the case over there, is it?
No, Australia do it, and I think it's a brilliant system.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Australia, if you don't vote, then you get fined like £200 or something, and their voting turnout's over 99%.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. I think to go with that, though, I think politics, contemporary politics, should be taught in schools, and people should, instead of church, people should stop going to church, but you should mandatorily... If that is a word, and it is.
Mandatorily? It's not a word.
Yeah, I know. People should have to, every Sunday, go along to some kind of political briefing. Because the problem is, nobody knows what they're talking about. This week, like last week, we're having these kind of US-style debates, prime ministerial debates.
And last night.
And there's one last night, there's one the week before, and there's going to be another one next week before the election. Last week, like Nick Clegg, who's the Liberal Democrat candidate, he just did a good debate, and then everyone, it was like Nick fever for the whole week, and everyone's going, yeah, Nick Clegg, and then he went way up in the polls, and it's based on nothing, basically. Nothing changed. The policies never changed. The future containing them as leaders never changed. It's just that everybody went, God, he was really good on that tele program, wasn't he? This is my problem with democracy. This is why I think there should be a dictatorship with me as the leader. It's actually been quite a quiet week. There's not been all that much happening, except one massive thing happened, which is that Gizmodo bought a lost iPhone 4G, which is all quite a good story, I think. Yeah. So what happened was a guy who worked for Apple left it behind in a San Jose bar, I think it was.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, good, thank you. And then he... presumably got in contact with a load of American blogs and tried to sell it to the highest bidder, which it seems turned out to be Gizmodo, who gave him $5,000, then ran a load of coverage on what it's like after confirming that they believe it is genuine. And then Apple afterwards confirmed it was genuine by sending Gizmodo a letter saying, give us back our iPhone, which Gizmodo published in full, and then sent back the iPhone. So I think Gizmodo is pretty much on Apple's shit list. What do you reckon, Tracy?
I would not want to be at Gizmodo right now. I mean, there was a good, because a lot of people were wondering, oh, is this story true? I have to admit, I was one of them, because initially it did sound kind of weird, and that was before it had come out that they had paid for the phone. Because it sounded really kind of sketchy that they just found a phone in a bar, as though like it had been sitting there and nobody noticed that there was just a random iPhone sitting around. But, you know, part of the reason why I was a skeptical is because, well, why would Apple leak something to Gizmodo? I have nothing against Gizmodo, but they're a blog, and Apple usually, if they're working with journalists, they usually go pretty high up the ladder, you know, work with Wall Street Journal or New York Times, things like that. So it seemed kind of odd that they would want to work with Gizmodo, right? So I don't, you know, they've got to have a really bad relationship with Apple at this point. I wouldn't want to be on the bad side. I was just reading a story, actually. There was some guy, it's related to Apple, because he had tried to buy three iPads. He had bought two already and went back into an Apple store to buy. This was somewhere in California. And they were like, sir, we see that you have like two iPads. That's all you need. You know, that will be your final iPad purchase for life.
Jesus. It's like communist Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, but what's weird is, like, think about it for a second. They're totally within their rights to do this. I mean, they're a private company. There's nothing that anybody can do. You know, it's not like the U.S. government can be like, you can't prevent that man from buying an iPad, or you can't, you know, blacklist this website. Well, yeah, you can if they want to. Now, I don't think Apple, like, blacklist them, but I don't see any sort of interview requests or anything like that being approved, you know, that come from Gizmodo.
No, it's a high-risk gamble. Obviously, it cost them $5,000. They must have got a hell of a lot of traffic and a lot of attention. Like, everybody, for a whole day, a couple of days, all the technology blogs in the world were just completely focused on Gizmodo, really. And they got into headlines, which is unusual. Like, when bloggers report other blogger stories, we tend not to put the other blogger in the headline. Well, you know, we'll give them credit, but it'll be somewhere in the text. And Gizmodo, you know, virtually everybody just put Gizmodo get story, like, in the headlines. So it's going to do a lot for the Google ranking stuff. I wonder what, you know, whether it's going to turn out to be worth it, whether it's going to be worth $5,000 and no more free stuff from Apple ever again.
You know, you raise a really good point in that the story was, in a way, less about the fact that it was, hey, this is iPhone HD, iPhone 4G. It was more about Apple's mighty walls have fallen. There's been a breach, and this, you know, blog was, you know, the victor. They're the David in this, you know, David and Goliath story. Because the company is just so careful about security. And I mean, I've heard people describe the way even the headquarters in Cupertino is set up and how it's been structured in such a way that a lot of floors and sections have one-way doors where you'll go in for a conference meeting, your conference room for a meeting, and you have to go out a different door. And it's purposely built that way, so that way people, like employees, don't go around exploring in their own campus. That way, if you're working on, you know, iPad, you don't know what's going on, what people are working on in terms of iPhone or downstairs in Mac. So, you know, they've been very careful. And I think that really, to me, I mean, that's why I was like, no way, that's a leak. That can't be a leak. Because Apple doesn't leak anything. So they've got to be really pretty upset over there.
Wasn't the device itself kind of in a normal iPhone shell, like disguised?
Yeah, apparently, which is kind of wild. Which is interesting, though, because then what does that tell us about the phone? That it's actually smaller than an iPhone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, assuming that the case wasn't a larger case, assuming the case wasn't an exact match for a current iPhone case, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can I make 2 points about this?
No. So, next up, we've got... Oh, go on, then. Carry on.
Firstly, I think it was a publicity stunt done on purpose by Apple. Okay. And it was arranged by... Like, I don't know, someone arranged it with... Not Gizmodo, but I read something about Engadget being involved as well. Maybe the guy that found it worked for them. Anyway, I think it's a massive publicity stunt by Apple.
But Engadget and Gizmodo are rival blogs.
Yeah, I can't even remember the story now, but I read it as a guy from Engadget found it and then it got sold to Gizmodo or something like that, but maybe that's wrong. Anyway, my point of it being just a massive publicity stunt is still there.
Okay.
And I can't even remember the second point now, but yeah. That's the first point. First point is the main point. It is a big publicity stunt by Apple. And look how much publicity it got. They got tons. They were like third story up on the BBC News website.
I'll say, though, I don't think they needed that publicity. Like, for a long time.
It keeps it... Yeah, but... Nah, people say that. Oh, they don't need publicity. It's Apple. But, like, that's not the point. It's keeping it in people's minds. Obviously, we know the iPhone 4G or whatever they're calling it is coming out in June.
Yeah.
But, you know, 99% of the general public don't, because they don't really follow iPhone stuff as carefully as we do.
Yeah.
But so I think it's great. I mean, it worked fine and everyone bought it. But I think it's a lot better than Apple kind of saying, hey, here's a new iPhone 4G, go and check out the pictures. It gives it like a nice underground virally feel that, oh, look, Apple's walls have fallen, like Tracy said, and they've made a
but that's
slip
pretty
up.
The problem is with that is that that's very negative press. I mean, if this was Microsoft, I would say absolutely, not because it's negative, but because it's the word that kind of doesn't drive in the story is viral. Apple doesn't really do viral leaks to the media. That's more of a Microsoft thing,
maybe, thing. But yeah, I don't know, maybe. Oh yeah, my second point was how were Pocket Gamer outbid? I don't understand this. How were we outbid by Gizmodo?
I found I found $4,000 just down the back of my couch, but you know it's difficult getting the rest of it in time. I mean, yeah, we could have got it easy, but you know, just in time. I could have just drawn something on a napkin and sold that for a couple of $1,000. I do that sometimes, but no.
Now's the time. Chris was on holiday as well, I suppose.
Yeah, he's always got a couple of million just like lying around in his pockets.
His pockets. Yeah.
So, to go back, do you think that Gizmodo was in on it? Like it was a coordinated thing?
No, I don't think anyone was in on it. I don't think anyone needed to be in on it.
So Apple kind of played. Yeah.
Well, okay. I reckon Apple just went, oh, where do these people hang? I don't know. I doubt they were in on it because that story could come out and that sound really bad for Apple. I don't think. Apple could just maybe drop it, and then if the story doesn't happen, or if someone just, you know, finds it who doesn't know what the hell it is, then, you know, the story dies and Apple have lost an iPhone 4G, no big loss. But if the story goes, then great, but look at the publicity they got. I don't think anyone was in on it, I just think Apple lost it on purpose.
Okay, so what about the thing itself? What were our impressions of that? I'll go first. I quite liked it. It was very different. It was a bit smaller. Higher resolution. The only thing that Gizmodo could see apparently was the little the kind of USB.
Yeah,
to say charging or to say please charge, which they said was really high resolution and looked great. And apart from that, the main thing is just the form factor is completely different. Instead of having a curved back, it's now flat like a little ice cream sandwich. And I think it looks quite good. What do you guys think of it?
I think personally, sorry, go on, Tracy.
No, go for it.
I think personally, A, it looks like a Sony Ericsson from about 4 years ago. And B, it looks like a little portable hard drive. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the squareness. I don't like the angles.
It reminds me of like a iPad shrunk, like a shrunken iPad. That's what I meant to say. Because it has that angular, boxy design, just like an iPad. The one thing that really kind of caught my eye were the volume buttons. I don't like the individual volume buttons. I like the rocker on iPod and iPhone.
Oh well. So we hate it then. Looks rubbish.
No, I don't hate it. It's all right. But if it wasn't a higher resolution screen and it didn't have a front-facing camera, then basically it would just be a paperweight.
Yeah. So. I want one. I really need an iPhone. It makes me sick when everyone else has got one. I should have one.
I've got one.
No, I don't.
Have you not got one, Tracy?
Oh, no, I have one. I'm asking okay. Rob. What do you have? Oh, yeah.
Me? Nokia 5800, which is starting to go on the blink. Can I get...
No.
Alex, give me your consumer advice. I've had this for less than a year, the handset. I think the contract's 18 months. Yeah. Can I... If it breaks, I just call up Vodafone and say, look, that handset you sent me broke. Sent me another one.
Yeah, but they'll probably like redirect you to Nokia as well. They might tell you to take it into a Nokia service centre. Like, if it's like software and not hardware, because then you just take it in and they do something to it and then it works fine again. But there's like loads of them across the country.
Okay.
Why don't you just download new firmware onto it?
Because I want an iPhone. I don't want to think of it. Don't want to
download,
think
about it. Download
he
that
wants
iPhone
it to be broken.
Yeah. I want it to die.
Why don't you just download an iPhone onto it?
It's a good idea, actually. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Okay, I'll give it a go. I mean, but if I want to keep that, could I just download my iPhone onto something else, like my mouse or something like that?
Your hand, you could download it onto your palm.
Oh, good.
Like, not a palm computer, like your actual palm.
The palm of my hand, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I need that for stuff. How about on my chest? But then
no,
I could only use it in the
too
mirror.
Hairy. Too hairy.
Oh, yeah, you don't want a hairy phone. No, okay. So,
as a disclaimer, I don't actually know if Rob's chest is hairy. I'd like to point that out.
It's wispy hairs. It's got some hairs. It's not big. It's not like Burt Reynolds, but there are hairs there. If I'm wearing a shirt and just like the top couple of buttons are open, there's a bit of hair there. Probably about more than you. I've got more hair than you. You saw me with my top off. We went to the bath together. I can't believe you didn't look at my chest. Anyway,
looking up the chest.
You're looking at the chest.
Chest with breasts.
Yeah. Yeah. There were better chests there. I have to admit.
Chest with breasts.
Okay. Let's move on to Chaos Rings coming out this week. It's quite a significant game because it's a Square Enix RPG developed specifically for iPhone and iPod Touch. So that's quite exciting. And it's very good. That's the other thing that's exciting. It's not rubbish, it's good. Tracy, why don't you tell us about Chaos Rings?
It's an RPG, and you play as... one of four different couples, duos, that are fighting in this arena for the prize of immortality and endless youth. And so you basically fight through different scenarios, and you have classic turn-based battles. And yeah, it's pretty. That's pretty much sums it up.
And how much does it cost?
$12.99 US and $7.49.
Basically, I've just puked into the microphone, so I'm gonna have to go and clean it right now.
That's expensive. That's super expensive. Although it's
more than 59p, which is already quite expensive, I think.
That's 59p.
It's
£7.49. You know what? I nearly downloaded it last night. And then I didn't because it was $7.49. Even though I claim it back on expenses, I didn't download it because it was $7.49.
The 7 key is just too valuable. You don't want to waste it.
I remember, like, I was looking at it on the iTunes store or the App Store, and then I showed it Rihanna. I was like, "Look at this, $7.49." She was like, "What? $7.49? Ridiculous!"
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Because it's not a lot of money, really. But yeah, that's the situation we're at. Yeah, I might download it, I think, at some point and have a play. My issue with iPhone is this. So the only other game that's really kind of big and hardcore and serious, I think, that I've come across has been Chinatown Wars. And I say that not because it is the only other one that's big and serious and hardcore, but it's the only other one that I know about. But I found it difficult, even though without having known about Chinatown Wars and without knowing that this was all of Chinatown Wars on the phone or iPod Touch, I would have found it difficult to take seriously. And like when, and there are all these other ones like Zenonia, which, you know, people rave about, and you know, probably understandably, that they're good games. But when I download them and play them, there's just this, I can't get past this kind of mental idea of it not being, the iPhone, while better than the DS and the PSP at so much, not being as legitimate for kind of mainstream, conventional, big RPGs and games like that. So I have this mental block about taking them seriously, which is the possibly the thing that's putting me off this Chaos Ring, this game. Maybe I need to play it just to embed.
Well, no, I don't think playing is going to change your mind. I mean, here's the thing. Chaos Rings was a difficult game to review, I felt, because here you have a game that's obviously extraordinarily well done. I mean, you don't have to play it to see that it's well constructed, right? It looks pretty. It's got, on paper, everything you want out of an RPG. And so people are really just loving it. I mean, they're just saying it's the best thing ever. But it still feels like it's missing something, that it's not quite the sort of, like you were saying, the role-playing game that would kind of break free from just being, oh, this is a portable role-playing game, or, oh, this is an iPhone role-playing game. No, this is just a good game, right? And I thought about that, and I said, well, if I use that as, if I say, okay, I need this game to be just amazing, so I need it to be good independent of iPhone, that becomes a really difficult standard for any game to meet. Because, you know, when you take a look at, like, a lot of people, for example, to talk about a different role-playing game, a lot of people didn't like Final Fantasy 13. Because it did a lot of different things. So, you know, gamers often cry, oh, we want you to do something different. You know, Final Fantasy has had 12 different installments before Final Fantasy 13 came out, plus a bunch of different spin-offs. People said, we're tired of the same old, give us something new. So they got something new, and they hated it. So here in Chaos Rings, it's like, okay, we're going to do an original RPG. They, you know, make it. It's really nicely done. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, this is all nice and done. You know, how do you do I shouldn't, that's good. Like, that deserves praise. But I don't think it'll necessarily change your mind in terms of feeling that sense of, like, people are getting excited over this.
Right.
So, because honestly, I've certain games, people are like, oh my God, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this. Of course, I can't think of an example right now. But then I'll come to, like, review it, and I'm like, oh my God, people were excited about this? You've got to be kidding me. Like, this is okay, but it's not blowing my mind. So I don't know. I mean, I guess what you're saying to me kind of resonates, because as a reviewer and as somebody who plays a lot of games, for me, that sort of standard of, like, impressing me enough to be like, wow, this is an amazing game, is so much higher. And so even though in the case of Chaos Rings, you know, we awarded a 9, and I think it's really well constructed, it didn't wow me. Like, I wasn't saying, oh my God, this is, I have to have this RPG. It's amazing. This is the best one I've played. It isn't. It's just really good at what it does, and it's well constructed. And yeah, that's that.
Excellent. Well, it's certainly popular, and I probably will play it at some point when it becomes 59p. Square Enix reduced the price of its other iPhone games when it released this. I think maybe to soften the blow of the astonishing price tag. So other Square Enix games are on offer, probably still. So why don't you go and check those out? So what else came out? Fast and Furious Adrenaline. This is a follow-up to the last Fast and Furious game, not developed by Firemint, as the other one was. Firemint of Real Racing fame, but another studio. Have you played this one? I didn't see who wrote the review.
I did. Yeah,
you did.
I was actually the one who wrote the review. Yeah.
Okay. Any good?
Unfortunately, not. Not the same pedigree as Firemint. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just very average.
Yeah. Okay.
I know one of the guys that developed that.
Did you?
Yeah. You remember Doug from uni?
Dougie?
Yeah.
The Scottish guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Him?
He was one of the guys that developed it, yeah.
Dougie. God, he was... He wasn't a happy man, was he?
No, he wasn't. And that's reflected in Fast and the Furious now.
I don't think Tracy's made him any happier either.
It's not happy. I don't know what he did on it. I think he just did the network, the Facebook integration or something. I don't know.
Well, if you're listening, Doug, you know, just don't do it. Just put down the bottle. Just think about all the things you've got to live for still.
Yeah. Fast and Furious 2.
You've got to do the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to look at the review and see.
See what got six.
Six. Okay.
Yeah,
not bad.
I remember that was, yeah.
It's better than average. Six.
It is. Better than average. But it's lower than good.
Yeah. Okay. Sonic 2 also came out. Another pretty much a disappointment, I think.
Pile of...
Yeah. Crap. Not a massive disappointment, because it was expected. It wasn't a surprise, I suppose. It can't be too much of a disappointment if it's not a surprise. And that was the case with this. It had all the same problems that the first one had by all accounts. Well, by one account, Tracy's, but I believe it. So there's not much to say on that, really. Sonic 2. Still, if you're a massive fan of Sonic and you think you can battle through control issues and performance issues on older hardware, then you might get something from it.
You know what's actually really sad is, I think it was earlier today or late yesterday. I think it was earlier today. Sega announced that they're cutting like 10% of their workforce, and a lot of people got pushed out of the company in the office. That was a lot of the people that I was interested in, because early in the week when I was talking to people about Sega or about Sonic the Hedgehog, I'm kind of like now wondering, oh gosh, I hope they're still there at the company, and if they're not, I hope you find jobs soon.
Yep. Here. So that was Sonic 2. iPad 3G models are going to be available to people who pre-ordered them, I guess, on April the 30th in America. I just shrugged there for the benefit of...
Not over here, though.
Yeah, because what do we care? You know, ours got pushed back to the end of May.
I was actually going to buy one, did I tell you? I was really going to buy a 3G one.
Yeah.
Because...
Aren't you still?
I don't know, no. They've annoyed me. I probably still will, actually, because I'm gullible. But, you know, I'm annoyed.
Quite often. I think this happens more than with any other company. In the comments in Pocket Gamer, the number of times I've seen the sentence or words to the effect, I will never buy another Apple product. I will never give Jobs any more of my money. It's amazing how often that sentiment comes up in the comments because of something Apple does, like, you know, release hardware late or price it too high, or you know, the approvals, you know, make some kind of mess of the approvals process, which they do all the time. I will never buy another Apple product. Bollocks, everyone.
They're bollocks. They all buy it. But yeah,
it's the same two people saying, "I'm never going to buy an Apple product again," over and over and over again.
Yeah, they're like
it's Bill Gates.
It's like domestic abuse. they know they should leave.
They just keep on getting abused.
Yeah.
No, I think an iPad with no 3G is a bit crippled, really.
Yeah.
I think 3G is quite important.
Although I would... What's the difference in price? About $100, is it?
That's
probably turned out to be, what,
£100? $120, $130. Okay. But that's not including the monthly fee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
the monthly service fee.
You could stick... What's the monthly service fee? I thought you could just... You mean like the contract fee?
Right. It's... Well, there's no contract here in the States. It's month to month, but it's $15.
Right.
And that gives you unlimited internet on it.
There'd be a fair usage policy probably, but...
Yeah.
There were two... I'm at a loss for exactly how the plans were structured, but there were two plans that were announced. You could either get unlimited data, and that was a certain price, and then there was
like,
you know,
partial data,
capped, Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't remember if the capped one was 15 or if the unlimited one was 15. I believe the unlimited one was 15.
My plan was to get just a SIM card and cut it down so it fits into the thing, which apparently is very easy to do. And then Bob is your uncle. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, Tracy.
Bob's your uncle. Cheapest chips.
Cheapest chips. Bob's your uncle. Yeah, but I'm just use that. But I don't know if that would work. I'm quite interested.
That won't work.
Why not?
That won't work.
You can't cut down a SIM card.
For the same reason that it doesn't work if you try that on an iPhone. You have to get a new SIM card.
Oh, that's annoying.
Well, I'm looking forward to these struggles anyway in a couple of weeks when you get your iPad.
Well, now I'm definitely not getting it. I'm going to scan the forums to see if anyone finds a workaround. I'm not paying a bloody another contract for it. No. I'll never use it. It'll go in the drawer. But, you know, at least I'll have it in the drawer.
I still haven't seen one. Bloody JJ. Bloody Jonathan Jordan. Of Pocket Gamer. Editor of PocketGamer.biz. He's got mine. He's holding on to it. It's supposed to come to me. Originally Tracy was going to send... And this, you know, listen to this, listeners, and your blood will boil. The injustice, because it was supposed to be coming to me, in the Bath office, but then I was going to be away at my stag do. So generously, I said, you know, John, why don't you take it for the first couple of days and you can work on it? And then there was a kind of hold up with the postage; it took longer than we thought it was going to take. But then it's just been up there; it's just been stuck there and taunting me. Mike Rose, our intern, he works from Jonathan Jordan's
den of iniquity,
apparently a bright yellow wall, sent us a kind of mocking picture of himself holding up the iPad with a big sarcastic smile drawn on his face, as if to say, look at me, I've got the iPad and you're down there in Bath with nothing. Except loads of other. All you've got is all the other free technology that companies have sent you over the years, but not an iPad.
No iPad.
Which, okay, I found the pricing. So here in the States, you get 250 megabytes of data for $14.99. And then if you want unlimited, you have to double it. It's $29.99.
That's expensive.
Expensive.
250 megabytes is nothing. That's like one website.
Yeah. That's like Pocket Gamer.
Yeah, you load up Pocket Gamer. Well, I've seen the advert. The text hasn't come in yet, and that's $15. okay, but that's basically pretty soon we'll all have iPads, and we'll all be skipping around in circles. And Tracy's already got one. This was quite interesting. It's sort of related. Brain training, apparently, once again, every so often there's a study done to tell us whether or not brain training games boost our brain power. Sometimes they conclude that they maybe possibly slightly do, and more often they conclude that they have no effect whatsoever. And there's just been a recent study on BBC. It was on a BBC television program and then subsequently on the BBC News website saying that it doesn't help. So, you know, if you're playing brain training games on your iPhone or iPod Touch or iPad in order to stave off dementia, just don't, you know, you're wasting your time. I'm sorry.
Just accept that you're going to be mental at some point in your life.
Yeah. I mean, well, there maybe are other things you can do. Medication, you know, other kind of...
Stop taking drugs.
Yeah, no more ecstasy. But this study involved 11,430 viewers of the BBC One programme. But they were
that many people are still playing brain training games? That's like so 2005.
I know, yeah. But they're influenced by... they probably got them in America as well, but Nintendo has the adverts where they have celebrities in white clothes in perfectly white rooms playing DS games together. Vernon Kay and Tess Daly was a recent celebrity couple doing it. And they play brain training games, so that's what's probably getting everybody into it. They go, well, if Vernon Kay can do it, then I can do it. Have you heard of Vernon Kay?
No.
Yeah.
He sent sexual text messages to other girls. That was quite funny.
Yeah, a bit like Who was the recent?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger!
Like everyone's
Tiger
heard of
the
Tiger.
Shagger. The massive shagger.
Have you read his text messages, Tracy? They're really rude.
Really?
Yeah, they're really rude.
I'm going to hold you down, bitch.
Yeah, I'm going
to... No!
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to make you choke. I'm going to make you choke. You'll be my slave. Yeah.
Go, Tiger.
Wow. That is raunchy.
It's really raunchy. It's very naughty. I'm not at all surprised that his wife was angry with him, was cross with him.
And that was to a porn star. That was to a porn star.
So really?
Yeah, she was a porno woman. Obviously, then I spent the next 20 minutes trying to find images of her, I succeeded in.
Did you? It's not difficult to find images of pornographic actresses on the internet, to be fair. That's right, it took 20 minutes.
I love that when like you hear of some like pictures coming out. What was the one that I got told? That one where the girl out of High School Musical had a load of naked pictures. And then someone told me, and it was like, boom, get online, go, go, go. Find. And then bang, found them.
Well,
it's a happy day.
I never do anything like that. No. Okay, let's have some Tiger Woods text messages then. I've just looked some up. Here's one of them. You are my... I'm going to bleep them out. It's a bit naughty. You are my bleep whore. Hold you down while I choke you. I want to treat you rough, throw you around, spank you, and slap you. Another one. Okay, I would like to have a threesome with you and another girl you trust. Have you... Oh, and this... Oh dear, this is very naughty. Have you ever had a golden shower done to you? Just morbid.
Oh!
Yeah, Tiger.
Maybe he meant gold. Maybe he didn't mean piss. For the listeners that didn't know that was piss.
That's rich people. That's just pouring champagne onto each other.
Yeah. Molten gold.
Should we give him the benefit of the doubt?
No.
Tiger, you naughty boy. So Farmville is coming to iPhone and iPod Touch, and we know this because a San Francisco address has registered the domain names farmvilleipad.com and farmvilleiphone.com, and also farmvilleandroid.com, if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Which no one is.
There's a few people who are more Android fans than they are iPhone fans. Damien McFerrin, one of our writers, sort of peripheral writers, but we like to think of him as a member of the family. He's got an Android, and he uses that over an iPhone.
The uncle that maybe abused one of the kids years and years ago, so no one speaks to him. But he is still part of the family.
Yeah, technically. and he prefers it. I don't know why. I've never had an iPhone, but I've used them. But I had an Android. The battery used to run down in like a day. It used to really annoy me.
Hello. Well, it's because the processors are faster.
How long does the battery last in your iPhone, in your respective iPhones?
A couple of days if I don't
Yeah, that's alright.
If I play a game, like, solidly, then, yeah, it goes down pretty quick. Like, I reckon you could get, like, 6 hours of a game on it. Tracy, does that sound normal?
I'd say less, depending on how intense the game is. Like, if you're playing Chaos Rings, I'd probably drain the battery pretty quickly.
Angry Birds or Bejeweled 2, Tracy. Come on, you know this by now. You know the games I play. They have to be mindless.
But yeah, that's it. That's it for all the news. But basically, yeah, if you're interested in Farmville and things like that, then
that means you're a backward.
It might be coming, and you're special. So let's go to the rumor mine.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
And here we are now in the rumor mine. So what's been happening this week? Tracy, why don't you fill us in on the first of this week's rumors?
Well, you guys have heard that Earthworm Jim is coming to consoles, right? Supposed to come to Xbox Live Arcade, and then like about a month later, it's coming to WiiWare and PlayStation Network. Well, Rumor Miner says it's also coming to iPad. Earthworm Jim HD.
That'll be good. I've been playing Earthworm Jim on my iPod Touch.
What do you think?
I think it's good, but I think I've said this previously. I think the controls, there's just this. I think that kind of game needs buttons, basically.
Yeah.
It's probably the same thing is true of Sonic 2. People do get around it. People enjoy these games, but yeah, for me, I really want there to be buttons. That's how I feel about Earthworm Jim. I don't guess the. Have you played any platformers on iPad, and does it make a difference for games like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's. I'd say fighting games and platformers are really difficult to do. That's what made Street Fighter IV so stunning, really, because it actually does work pretty well. But platformers, gosh, that's a tough cookie that's a tough nut to crack.
It's a tough cookie to crumble.
Those crumbling cookies.
That train has sailed. I used to have a middle manager at an old place I used to work at, and he was this nervous, shuffling fellow that we all despised, in the true sense of the word, looked down on. And one time we were having a meeting, and we were saying, oh, what about... Because we'd had all this overtime, which I never went to because I'm lazy, but other people had done all this overtime. And then they were in this meeting, and then someone said, what about overtime? It was Briggs, Rennie, who was on the stag do with us. And he said, what about overtime? And this manager guy went, that train has sailed. just completely fucked it up in his head. And so, so that became a catchphrase. That train has sailed. Which I still use to this day. The train has sailed. Train's sailing. Better be careful or the train will sail. But that's something to look forward to anyway. Earthworm Jim HD. It is a good game, and it's got all the right ingredients. I'm much more sympathetic towards platformers, I have to say. Maybe this is just me, that have a history. I accept, I'm much quicker to accept them. Things like Castle of Magic, which I know has got good reviews, and I know it's supposed to be a good game. It's more difficult for me to buy into that, whereas I've been really persisting with Earthworm Jim, despite my frustrations with the controls. I'm carrying on with it because I already know that it's pre-approved, if you know what I mean. Like, I know that it's a good game from beginning to end, which I don't necessarily know about more recent games. But I think it is, largely down to perception and nothing else. Well, this is also good news then, potentially. The Rumour Miner, the man who is always down here huddled in the dark, is telling us that...
It's Fraser. It's Fraser McInnes.
Fraser McInnes.
That's where he lives now.
Yeah, although it's pronounced McInnes.
Nah, it's McInnes.
Okay.
What's he going to do?
Telling him how his name is pronounced.
What's he going to do? That's a bit confrontational, isn't it? I'm pronouncing your name wrong. What are you going to do about it?
He's in the room of mine. He can't get out. He's not allowed on the lift.
But no,
except we're in here, and he could just use some TNT and block the exit route, and then we're stuck down here with him. He
doesn't understand that.
He can do all
kinds. Then it'll be the rumor miners.
He just scrapes with his fingernails at the rocks trying to get rumors out for us.
Yeah, well, he's got a good one. Ooh. He's got Castlevania potentially coming to iPhone.
Ooh.
From Konami, of course. Konami have had pretty mixed fortunes on iPhone so far, as I think we mentioned last week. But Castlevania is a really well thought of franchise, so that could be coming.
There's a supposedly trademark that's been filed for a new Castlevania title. Could be this.
Yeah,
because there's Castlevania Lord of Shadow. I don't know if it's plural, but that one's coming to console. That's a 3D one that's being done by Kojima Productions, which also does Metal Gear. But then someone had scouted out another title, and nobody knows what it's for. I was assuming it was going to be for Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, just still could be. I mean, it's out on... There are PSP Castlevanias as well, aren't there?
One. A re-release. No original ones.
Oh, okay. Castlevania. I never really got into that franchise, because I was never a console guy. Really? I was always a computer guy, and so therefore it passed me by. But I will, if it comes out on iPod Touch, this is my guarantee, this is my promise, my pledge. I will download it and play it because everyone says it's great. I had to go with I played the demo of the one on Xbox Live, but it was kind of too old. I think I'd get on with it on a handheld platform, but on like that compared to, say, Shadow Complex, it's a bit difficult. Shadow Complex is just so far ahead of it that I wasn't that amazed, to be honest. But anyway, Castlevania, I'm sure there are lots of people who are excited about that prospect, definitely. I bet Damien McFerrin is the pervert that he is.
Sick, perverted old uncle.
Pervy McFerrin. So, finally, from the Reminder, we're looking at possibly having Fallout Tactics New Vegas on iPod Touch. A Bethesda game coming to iPhone has kind of been talked about quite a lot. They partnered up with id, is that right? And then we were thinking that because of that there was maybe going to be some
id. ID, surely.
No, it's id.
Id, like as in
the id. The id and the ego. The Freudian mental.
Freudian concepts.
Yeah. Who produced Doom? ID Software.
ID is like a brand of personal lubricants.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So they're making games now?
That is a game in itself. There are lots of games you can play with personal lubricants.
Pass the lotion, please.
Yeah. Doom and Quake are just two. but they are also beautiful. And Fallout, prior to it being a first-person Oblivion-esque RPG game, was, of course, kind of old, top-down or isometric game, and I guess it could go back to that format for iPod Touch, and it would be very good. It's a well-thought-of franchise, definitely. Tracy, what's your take on this?
This is great. I think this would be a great game for iPhone because it works, it's turn-based, so you don't have to worry about fidgeting with controls in terms of like real-time action. And it would have a lot of depth because, you know, you'd have tactical combat. And other games have tried this on iPhone and they've worked really well, like Rogue Planet, for example, is a turn-based tactics game that was published by Gameloft back in November. Yeah, end of November. That one was pretty good. There's been some other ones. Mecha Wars is actually one of my personal favorites. And I don't know, but I love the Fallout universe. So this, and there's been talk that they've been wanting to try to, you know, they've been working on a game, but it isn't going to be with any of those id properties because that's getting run out of id. Like that id is handling their own iPhone stuff. So whatever Bethesda's working on is got to be something else. It's either new, like totally new, or I bet it's this. I bet the rumor right miner has got this one.
Well, I'll look forward to that. Fallout's another one of those games that people always told me about, but I never managed to play because, again, as I mentioned before, I only really play games where you shoot people and animals and fictional creations in the face. So I never really got around to that one, but I am sort of intrigued to see what it's going to be like. Fallout. I played that on 360 for about... I got out of the bunker, walked around for a bit, then realized that it wasn't for me. Sadly.
Really? Oh my god, I played that thing. I got a platinum trophy on that game on my PS3.
The problem is, because I played it and I spoke to someone. I'm having exactly the same problem with Oblivion. I can't get round this. I can't get into the RPG mentality. So I just I go around there thinking, right, I should just kill people and that, you know, and then people should get in my way and I'll just fight them with, I'll hack them to bits with my sword and then I'll just go off and I'll just get health. There'll be a health pack somewhere and I'll get some health. Then I die. Then I've got to redo like loads of levels because I'm sort of coming around to the idea that the whole point of the RPG of RPG games is that you've got to think about what it would be like if you were there, and you've got to say, right, well, don't get into this fight, you know, back off. You don't have health. So don't get into fights for a while. Just kind of build yourself up, get some spells going, you know, and try and treat this as if it's a real situation. But I sort of can't get into that mentality. I see a goblin and I go, right, goblin, run over and start trying to kill him. And it was the same with Fallout 3. I was just like, right, there's a person. I've got my gun. I'm going to shoot him right in the face. And then I'm going to get some health, which is bound to be around the corner because that's how games work. And I would just die repeatedly. So, I need to change how my mind works, basically, before I can get into that kind of game. Maybe Fallout on the iPhone will be the game that makes that crucial adjustment to my mental workings.
You can't play strategy games either, can you?
No, I'm sick. No, that's another problem.
Like Red Alert and something, you were just like, hmm? I remember you playing it once, and you were just like, what do these tanks do? What are these people doing? What do I do now? And then I killed you.
Even when I do understand it again. Sometimes I learn how to do it, and I'll build up fortifications and stuff, and I'll mine whatever it is you need to mine, and I'll get everything going, and I'll think, wow, this is great. Look at all these fortifications. I've got fortifications. I've got a manufacturing process going. But then I always just get rolled over by the end. And my problem with it is the whole process takes about an hour. So, like, at the end of the hour, I've got nothing.
An hour to lose.
Yeah. I've spent all this time. I've built up all these hopes, and I don't want to start again. I don't know why anybody would. I never think, oh, right, well, I'll do that again then, and risk.
Some people win. Some people actually win at it.
Yeah, not me. Mm. No, yeah. GTA. That's about my level.
Yeah.
Let's leave the rumor mine. Well, let's recap then. Earthworm Jim HD. Fallout Tactics New Vegas and Castlevania potentially all coming your way. Pretty exciting this week. And now let's get on the lift, the rumor lift.
Bye, Fraser. Bye. Have fun down there. Put some clothes on next time.
No. Okay, so that was Fraser just saying goodbye. Now we're out.
What we've been playing!
We're talking about what we've been playing. We're at the end. Let's speed up.
Can I do this first?
Yeah, go on.
Yep.
Because I have downloaded two games this week.
What?
Yes. Oh my god.
No!
What happened?
I'm lying.
Where's
Three
Alex?
Games.
Three games.
Three games, but I've only played two of them.
Holy shit.
Wait, did you delete Bejeweled and had to re-download it?
That would be normal, but no. I downloaded The Impossible Game, which reviewed on site, which is shit. It's absolutely shit. Like, it's so annoying. It's the wankest game I've ever played. It's like, it's a 2 out of 10.
What did we get it on the site? Just to be clear, what's it actually?
I think some ridiculous reviewer called Mike Rose. I think it was Mike. I don't know, maybe it wasn't.
Oh, I don't think we reviewed it.
Oh no, we just did a news
just
story about
news.
It.
Yeah,
so there you go. I've reviewed it. It's a 2.
Okay. I'm going to add a disclaimer. Alex is not a professional reviewer.
It's a 2.
So you should wait for the Pocket Gamer review.
2 out of 20. So it's a 1 out of 10.
Okay.
God, it's shit. Yeah, you just have to like jump over shit, and then it's really hard. I mean, all right, it's called The Impossible Game, but what's the point? You might as well just make a game that doesn't run and call that The Impossible Game. Oh, it's impossible. It doesn't work.
So tell us about the gameplay. How does it work?
Right, you go along. It's a bit like Cannibal. So it like pushes you along on... you don't have to do anything. Then you just have to jump at the right times.
Okay.
Listen, I'm playing it now. Listen. Oh, wait. Let me turn the volume up. Oh, that's me dying. There you go. I just died 4 times in that short time.
Isn't Cannibal the impossible game, though? I mean, you always die in Cannibal.
Yeah, well,
so what's the difference?
I don't know. Well, this apparently is something from the Xbox Live store or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was an Xbox Live independent game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's shit anyway. It's don't waste your time with it. 1 out of 10.
So you're not a fan?
2 out of 20. No, not a fan. It's annoying. Another game I downloaded last night when I realised that the podcast was happening. Is a game called Hexarot, which is like a little puzzly game which is it's all right. It's all right. A bit boring.
Does it, by any chance, use six-sided shapes?
It does. It does. Hexagon-esque. And you just have to like shuffle them round to like get three together, and then they vanish. It's all right. It makes your mind work a little bit in a weird way. But after 10 minutes, it's boring. Sadly. Okay. And that's 119. That is, I'm giving that a 7 out of 10 because the music's good and it's a puzzle game. It does what it says, but it's a bit boring. Yeah, there you go. Official Pocket Gamer score.
Once again, disclaimer, Alex's views do not represent anybody's.
So that's a 1 and a 7. And I also downloaded that crappest game ever thing, Crap of Defense, but mainly because it was free.
Oh.
That's... The music's quite good.
It's not a promise. Music.
That's it.
It's all right. It sounds pretty swashbuckling.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. I've not played it yet. That's as far as I've got. That will be next week's podcast.
Okay. So those are your games.
Yeah.
Well, that's
1 out of 10 and a 7 out of 10.
Okay, who's going next? Tracy, do you want to go next?
Sure. Let's see. I've been playing a lot this week, so I'm just going to go through quickly. I've been playing Super Monkey Ball 2 Sakura Edition for iPad, which is basically Super Monkey Ball 2 with a couple of extra levels. Not really all that much better on iPad than it was on iPhone. I've also been playing, Gameloft just released Blokus. Is that how you pronounce it? Blokus or Blokus?
I say Blokus in my head, but I've never heard it pronounced.
Blokus.
Because if it was block, I would think it would be B-L-O-C-K. But since there's only the K, is it block? Anyway.
I see it as a kind of...
Let our readers, maybe our readers can tell us. Yeah. Or our listeners can tell us. So leave a
comment.
I'll
tell you, please. It's block. It's blocus. There you go.
How do you know?
How's it spelled?
B-L-O-K-U-S.
Well, he knows that because I just spelled it out.
Yeah, that is true. No, it's called Blokus. Blokus.
Blokus?
Yeah. Blokus. I'm the master.
But it would also make sense if it was called Blokus because you're laying down blocks to block your opponent.
Where's the C? That's all I'm asking. Where's the C?
Yeah, question. Listeners, you have to tell us, is it Blokus or Blokus?
I've got... No, they don't need to. I've got a gift with pronunciation of words. It's Blokus. It's definitely Blokus.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's block. Why? Because it's got blocks. It's got blocks in it. It's never going to be Blokus.
Oh wait, no, that's not what I said.
Well,
it's Blokus.
You're playing with your blokes.
Yeah.
Is that the case? Are you tessellating men in the game? Is that how it works?
Male tessellation.
Oh god.
Which is basically easy.
Yeah.
Easy jet. Ryanair is human tessellation.
There is multiplayer.
Okay. Anyway, what's the game like? Is it good?
Game's actually really good. I'd never played the board game. It's based off of a Mattel board game. And you basically just lay blocks down and try to get as many blocks on the board as possible. And whoever has the most points wins. But Gameloft really did a great job with it. It's got online multiplayer. It's got local multiplayer. It's got achievements. It's got a full campaign. It's really well done. I'm not blown away because it's like it's from Gameloft. I mean, they know what they're doing. They do good work. But usually these board games come out and you're like, oh, it's Monopoly. Okay, great. You know, this one is just really good. So I've been playing that, and obviously played Chaos Rings and Fast and Furious.
Okay, game of the week.
Game of the week, I think I really like Blokus. That's it's because it was so unexpected. Chaos Rings is like the big game of the week for sure, but in terms of like what surprised me was definitely Blokus. That one was a pleasant surprise.
I'm intrigued. Okay, I might get that then. Okay, I'll do mine then. So I've been playing. I've been continuing to play Tilt to Live, which I talked about briefly last week. I don't remember how much I said about it last week, but it's a bit like Geometry Wars, but with tilting. It's super addictive. It's really great. You should get it if you don't have it already. Tilt to Live. It's brilliant. Downloaded a game called Gagarin. which is you play an Eskimo, and what you've got to do is you just grab him with your finger and just launch him up into the air. He disappears off the screen, and there's this little circle with a number in it which tells you how many meters he is off the ground. And then he goes up as far as he's going to go, then he starts to fall again. And as he's on his way down, you have to grab him, catch him, and then just keep flicking him up. And you lose the game if you fail to catch him on the way down. It is kind of a neat idea. It's a bit unusual because you spend... and you can get power-ups, by the way. Like, you can, if he bangs into a bird, he gets covered in feathers, and it means he comes down slower, which means it's easier to catch him. And there are other bits and pieces like that. The graphics are great. And it's a neat idea, sort of a bit like Doodle Jump, but with a kind of a twist. The problem is that you spend most of the game just looking at sky, because he disappears off the screen and just flies up, and this little circle kind of swings back and forth across the top of the screen telling you where he is. It's actually quite boring, especially if you flick him up really high and then he runs into a bird and gets covered in feathers. It can take quite a long time for him to drift down back onto the screen. So it's odd. It's just a game where you're just looking at the sky and then waiting for somebody to fall down so you can catch them on the way past. I think it was 59p. So, you know, it might be worth getting for that. But that's called Gagarin. I wonder if the Gagarin thing is because you fly him up into the sky and...
Like Yuri Gagarin, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. The first... Was he the first man in space?
Yeah.
I think he was, yeah.
A Rusky. Dirty.
First thing was a dog, though. Leica. That was in space.
Yep. You're quite right. I also downloaded a game called Word Fuzz, which is... ridiculously hard. So the point of the game is this. It tests you on languages. And I was quite excited about this because I've been learning German. I think it's quite fun to learn languages. I thought I was doing pretty well with German. So I downloaded this game to test myself. And all it does is it says, in English, it says a word. And then in German, you've got to translate it. So I'm kind of playing it now just to give you an idea. I had a go of it last night as well. But I really messed up. And the timer goes down, and if the time runs out, you lose a life, and if it runs down three times, you die. English, beard, German, no idea. Next, English, naked, German, no idea. Next, English, sport, German, potentially Spiel?
Spiel. Or sport.
Then it crashed, and that's the game. Oh. It's bloody difficult. It's really
doesn't sound like a game. That sounds like second year German homework.
It's very simple, but I quite enjoy stuff like that. You know, I enjoy being tested. I mean, it's just a kind of quiz, which is a kind of game, and I think it's fine. But basically my warning is this: if you think you're okay at German, and I'm okay at German, I could walk around now in Berlin and I probably wouldn't die. I could get to the bakery and the chemist and the station, relatively easily. I could order myself a coffee. I cannot translate all of these words that it throws up, and this is on the easiest possible setting. Foot. I think that's Fuß. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Anyway, word fuzz. If you're very competent at a foreign language and you've got a choice, it's not just German. You can choose from. I'll give you the full list. You can choose from
French.
Probably French. Yeah.
Go then.
Italian.
Okay, yep.
Spanish, maybe?
Yep. Keep going. German, we've got that. So there's one more.
Dutch,
correct. You've got the full list.
Dutch.
Dutch. Like Deutsch. That's why the Pennsylvania Dutch are called the Pennsylvania Dutch. They weren't Dutch, they were German.
God, that's stupid.
But they went, we're Deutsch. And the people there went, Dutch, huh? All right, pleased to meet you. So that's that. It's very difficult, but if you're great at languages and you want to show off to yourself about how good you are, then download WordFuzz. It's not great. It's not much of a case. As Tracy said, it's not much of a game.
3 out of 10.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sorry to say. I also downloaded.
That's official. That's now official.
Well, we're not. I don't think we're going to review it. Is it in the review flow, Tracy?
No.
No. There's not much of a game there. But that's that. That's what I've been playing. Anyway, that bit's finished. I did play a game called Trundle as well, which is another one that's free. I thought it was all right. Didn't really get into it. I can't really render a verdict at this stage.
6 out of 10.
Well, you know, once again, Rennie's views do not reflect those of the management. And that's it. That's me. So we've talked about what we've been playing. Oh, I promised our intern Ben Maxwell, who's been doing lots of sterling work on our Facebook fan page, that I would mention it and direct you to go and have a look at it. So the Pocket Gamer Facebook fan page has been getting updated with pictures that Ben has been taking of random things. He took a picture the other day of Zhao on his motorbike.
Yeah, it's a picture of you in there.
Yeah, it's a couple of pictures of me because I was unfortunate enough to be in the office when he was running around, rampaging around with his camera. So basically, if you want to see what I look like in the office, if you want to see what Zhao looks like on in his motorbike gear on a motorbike, you know, in his pre-midlife crisis stage, then you can.
It's all there.
It's all there. So go and check out the Facebook fan page.
And also, when you're on the story now, you can scroll to the bottom of the story and you can click on recommend. It's a little Facebook thumbs up. And if you click on that, then it appears on your profile. And so if you like the story, then click recommend. Or if you like the review or whatever.
That whole system, the recommendation on Facebook is not... it sometimes doesn't work. When depending on the type of story that you're recommending, because there were a lot of people today here in the U.S. There's unfortunately was a oil rig accident off of the coast.
Oh, and everyone's
and
thumbs
11,
up.
Yeah, so it says, so people are saying so and so likes 11 oil rig workers missing off of the Atlantic coast as oil rig sinks.
Yeah, they need to iron out. I heard a scam that you could do on it as well that's already like come out. You can basically, you could click recommend on the Pocket Gamer site, but that recommend button could then change to say like Alex Rennie likes hardcore pornography at disgustingporn.com on your actual Facebook profile. Even though you
but
clicked
see,
recommend.
Everyone would actually believe that though.
Yeah, no, I would recommend that if I found it. I would definitely recommend it, but sadly I'd just recommend like a Fast and Furious review or something. So so watch out for that, recommend porn fans.
Yeah, and be also careful. Recommend Pocket Gamer fans. So if you read something you want other people to read it, then do click the button. There's also there's a retweet button as well, isn't there? So you can retweet.
Yeah, Twitter. No one's Twitter.
It's all
very actually, Tracy, you Twitter.
Yeah, you're active.
I'm an angry tweeter.
I
have to. I need to be a little more cheery with some of my tweets.
Yeah. I don't use Twitter except to register account in the name of Rob Hearn. Say Rob Hearn is a knob head.
You did do that, yeah. You did. That is something you did. Let's see my Twitter. I'm gonna. Because I'm not a natural. I think there are two different kinds of people. There are natural Twitterers, and there are natural non-Twitterers. And I'm definitely a non-Twitterer. I've got no predisposition.
No Twitterability.
Yeah. Although sometimes I'll tweet. I was reading a book the other day, and I was tweeting passages from that because I found them interesting. They were from the book Flat Earth News, which is about the terrible state of journalism in the world. It's a very good book. It's by a guy from Private Eye. Rennie, you should read it.
Who did it?
Nick Davies.
Oh, I don't know who he is.
This guy from Private Eye. Yeah. So I was tweeting. Basically, I feel guilty. Like I'll think, oh, I haven't tweeted anything for ages, right? I should. Now I'm going to have to tweet something. And then if I find something that I can easily tweet, then I'll tweet it. And then my last tweet, I can't actually get it up for you because I can't remember my login details for Twitter, was kudos to Microsoft for advertising private browsing as a way of concealing gift purchases from your loved ones, which I think is hilarious. That I was sitting in my flat and the advert came on, and I don't know if you've have you seen the advert, Rennie?
No.
You probably don't have it in the States, Tracy, but basically there's an advert for Microsoft private browsing, and it's just this guy, this kind of middle-aged guy sitting there, and he says, sometimes you're on the internet, maybe you're buying your wife a present, you don't necessarily want her to know what you've been looking for, so what do? Just dip into private browsing, and then you look up these antique
look
clocks.
Look up your hardcore and pornography.
Then, yeah, and then at the end of the advert, she comes in, and he goes, oh, hello, love, and just clicks it off private browsing. When I saw that advert, I just fell over laughing.
Are his pants down while he's sitting at the desk?
Well, that's it. It's like... The percentage of people who use private browsing for concealing gift purchases. Microsoft,
it's
if they
zero.
Had any balls,
it's actually zero.
would advertise it for what it's for, or just not advertise it at all, because everyone, what? People are going to discover it.
You should advertise it for what it's for.
Yeah, for concealing.
Concealing pornographic searching.
Well, that's it, and on that note, I think that's a good
massive pornographic bombshell.
Yeah, I think that's a good note on which to end the podcast this week. Go to thepocketgamer.co.uk and read stuff there, and Facebook. Don't forget the Facebook. We've just mentioned that, and apart from that, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.